Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Honest Dialogue. This is Sonia McGirt. Today our guest is going to be Catherine Kemp Guillet. She's a change agent. That's what she considers herself. She's worked with thousands of teachers and parents in regards to healthier eating. So I'm about to bring her on, and I want you guys to give her a warm welcome. Hold on 1 second. Hi, Catherine.
Sonia, this is Kathy Strand.
Well, how in the world? What happened?
That was on
for
my
note. For some reason.
Yeah, that was on my email, April 15th. So.
Yeah, I got it now. I don't know why it showed up on my other end wrong, but it's showing up on the front,
no
right? Okay.
No worries at all. Well, we can talk about food. Yeah.
That would work too, wouldn't it?
I know. Don't worry.
All right. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. Sonia, thank you for having me. It's a wonderful day to be talking about health and fitness. So my name is Kathy Strand, S-T-R-A-H-A-N, and what I focus on is helping people kind of get through the myriad of lots of information out there about how to eat. And I have been through it myself, Sonia. I don't know about you, but it's a jungle out there, so to speak. And what I really – here's my message for today, and you can focus me where you want. But before the call, I was thinking about how to approach this huge, huge subject. And by the way, at the end or even a couple times during the middle, I'm going to give people a free download of my Kindle book, which is about gluten-free eating. But, Sonia, it's mostly about dumping the junk and getting away from the typical American diet, the standard American diet, you know, where you eat out of a package or a box.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay because,
oh,
you know what?
Guilty.
This is, yeah, and I'll tell you what, it has just been our go-to style for so long. And I want to talk about cooking and so on. And just also, Sonia, to let your listeners know that that I'm a totally blind person, and yet I do all my cooking and I do all my research online. And so, look, this stuff is challenging. There might be people listening who have a job, who have children, who have health problems. So there's all kinds of things that can get in our way of doing the right thing. So first let me just start off by saying that proper eating and eating is such an individual thing, and it's a journey, and there's no need to ever feel bad about how you're eating now. If you find that you hear something that makes you say, okay, gosh, no, I'm going to stop eating the bag of Oreos and going to maybe get back to eating whole foods our great-grandmothers would recognize kind of thing, but it's a slow process. So, you know, don't just listen to me. Find voices online that you really find to be common sense. And let's all start there and not feel bad or guilty. Food should be, so when you think about it, shouldn't food be a form of love, and shouldn't it be a form of joy? But instead, it's become, especially for us women, a form of guilt. And I'll just
tell
you
a quick
thing. Yeah, because Sonia, over the weekend, and this is, I hear it all the time, my sister and her daughter, again, they're like, after we ate this nice big meal, I got to go on a diet, I'm too fat, this and that, I'm going to go on Weight Watchers, or I'm going to go on this, or I'm going on that. And it's so disheartening to be so angry with yourself about eating. Shouldn't eating be fulfilling? And it's not like we didn't eat bad food, but, you know, that's just how we are right now. So what do you say so far? I've been talking a lot, but what do you think so far?
Oh, I agree with you. I completely agree, because there's been times that I'm a small person. I'm not a very big person. But sometimes I find myself just eating whatever because I don't have to worry about the weight. But then I start thinking about the health issues that comes from it, no matter what size you are, and how I do believe that a lot of the foods that we eat have contributed, if not most of the cause, of things such as autism or ADHD or gluten sensitivities cause a lot of health issues, just a whole array of things that I feel like the food that we're eating today versus the food that our ancestors ate years and years ago when they, you know, had their own gardens and stuff like that, they put so much in our foods now. So I completely agree. I need to be eating healthier. We live in a small city, so it's kind of hard to go to new health stores. We don't really have those. So it would be nicer if I could grow my own in North Carolina, but it's a really small town right now. We're moving to Georgia, but for now this is where I'm at. So you make do with what you got.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, you know, it's fascinating when you read back in the 50s, and I think this might have been a government, maybe a state government program, but in those days they literally sent out people to help women and families learn to grow their own food. But what happened was that the big food manufacturers started to get, they were just in their heyday. I mean, the big food manufacturers like Kellogg and I think even General Mills, those are really old companies. People don't know that. They were started in the late 1800s. But as technology and women went back to work, and so starting in the 1950s and the 60s, It just ballooned out, and they literally made a conscious effort to re-educate people, especially women, and they said, look, you're too busy. You can't cook like your grandmother did. No, let's help you out here. And so instant everything became the way it was, instant pudding. And it wasn't, you know, believe me, when I find it fascinating to talk about the big food giants, but Sonia, in no way am I saying, you know, let's try to attack them and put them down. No. That's too big and that's too crazy. Well, other people are doing that. That's their fight. My message is, look, learn what you can about how the big food manufacturers put all kinds of dangerous oils and fats that are not healthy and synthetic vitamins. And everything about the food that you buy in a bag or a box is mostly fake food. It's produced in a lab, literally.
Yeah, and I've actually seen a box of cereal that actually has a chemical component in it that is supposedly for cleaning. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I have seen that on the internet pop up quite often. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I'm putting this stuff in my body.
It is true. I mean, in the way they have to treat the grains before they get into those cute little shapes, believe me, that grain has gone through all kinds of violent process that kind of gets all the vitamins out of it. It's just basically junk. And then all cereals are like this, and even crackers or almost anything, especially soup and stuff, they have to add all kinds of the food giants have to add salt that is so highly processed. We all need sodium, but not the processed salt found in food like that. But if they didn't put the salt in it, you wouldn't be able to eat it. It's what keeps it, holds its shape. It's what gives it that crunch. It would be unpalatable. And, of course, the sugar is part of that, too. Not to say we need to be all not, you know, completely lacking, you know, eating any sugar either. That's not true. We need a little bit of sugar from fruit, and even to add a little bit if we want to. But in the context of a healthy diet, and that just means getting healthy fats, like going back to having real butter that is unpasteurized, like real butter, pastured butter is what I mean to say, like from a grass-fed cow, or, you know, milk that has not been pasteurized. These things you can learn on my site, and when I give you the link to go get my free book, then I can teach you about this stuff. But then when you do eat the highly processed food once in a while at a party, or if you just, you know, you're out and you have to have, there's just only a sandwich to eat, you know. I mean, there's a social pressure. No, it's not pressures, but there are social things we have to kind of conform with, too, and we don't want to live in a bubble. So, but eating healthy fats and mostly food that you make at home. And by the way, even though my book is called The 14-Day Gluten-Free Guide, Sonia, that doesn't mean low carb. In fact, my latest email I sent out to my list was, who told you I was a tater hater? because people think that that gluten-free means low carb. Not even close.
Yeah.
You can even have white rice. In fact, if most people right now have digestive troubles, they have some sort of problem with elimination, they all have some sort of low stomach acid, which means reflux. They'll have some sort of headaches, and most of us will have digestive troubles right now due to a lifelong problem with eating, the processed food. So really when you go off of a typical packaged food diet, a typical American diet, eat foods that are easy to digest, like potatoes and rice, and try to eat healthy, grass-fed meat and wild fish, sure, but don't forget about your carbs. And I have made that mistake in the past, and so I really know that that's just nowhere to go. We all need some carbohydrates in our diet, healthy carbohydrates, but not all that Twinkie stuff and the breakfast cereals. But you can buy a bag of rice for like $2 or something. I forget. We bought some today. I don't remember how much we paid for it. But,
probably
oatmeal,
about that.
Cheap. Yeah, oatmeal, super cheap, and it doesn't take long to cook. It's almost instant. So.
Well, I have noticed that when I went, mm-hmm. me being a Christian, I did a fast, and I went on what they call a Daniel fast. And I cut out a lot of foods that had gluten mm-hmm. in it, and mm-hmm. I noticed that after a week or so of doing it, when I started eating those foods again, it bothered my stomach. I don't know if my body had just adjusted to the way I was eating the healthier food, and then mm-hmm. when I switched back, it was harder for me to eat that processed food, especially junk food. So that's kind of crazy. I guess I haven't ever sat down and thought about all the difference that they put in, more whole foods than foods that are more processed.
Right. No, that is true. And I've noticed this from other people who have said that eating, when they go and they eat a whole foods diet, like you just described, where you just eat foods that your great-grandmother would recognize, like potatoes and rice and vegetables, beans, things like that.
Yes.
Well, then you go back to a packaged food diet, and you're going to feel a difference. And that was your experience too, huh?
Yeah, it was, because I the stomach cramping, gas, bloating some, mm-hmm. And just nausea mm-hmm. when I ate the sweet stuff again. And I mm-hmm. thought, wow, I wonder how I would feel if I could start eating a little bit healthier without losing the weight, though, because I lose weight pretty easy. So, but like you said, I do have the digestive issues.
You do?
Uh-huh. I do. And so mm-hmm. I have never been tested to see if I was gluten sensitive, and I haven't really went strictly gluten sensitive, but a diet mm-hmm. in terms of that. But what actually happened to cause you to turn from? Because I'm sure you didn't eat healthy all your life. Maybe I don't know. Some people
no,
do.
No,
did you?
It's so true, Sonia. No, you're right. Well, I came from a big family. We had six. My mom had six children, six of us all together, and so she was a product of this huge change from eating, preparing all your foods, having, a healthy breakfast with eggs, and, like her mom probably prepared, even pancakes, but they were made from her mom, her mom made them herself. So she knew what she was putting in it. So my mom grew up different than when she raised us. Because she was, like I said, she bought into the instant thing. And I remember she said, wow, look at this, instant breakfast. In fact, the space program likes this instant breakfast. And, look at this. They were called space food sticks, and they were the most horrible things. And Tang was another thing that the space program adopted from the big food giants. So my mom in the morning can you imagine getting six kids off to school? She had to, she probably was enjoying cutting some corners.
So, I got three and I like cutting corners.
And you know what? Don't let me forget. But there are healthy ways to cut corners. Because believe me, I don't enjoy cooking either. But I try to prepare. We definitely prepare every single meal at home, unless we eat out. And then when we eat out, we eat very, very carefully. All right. So, So breakfast, instant breakfast, which is nothing more than just chocolate milk, and you pour it out of an envelope into milk and mix it up, and they still sell it. It's still on the market, and then maybe we would even get a piece of toast with that because but that's not. I mean, I didn't think it was bad. I didn't know. When your mom feeds you something, you just accept that it's right. That's why we women have a lot of power. We, when you have children, you can dictate to them up until about 3 years old, very, very, very closely, exactly what they eat. When they get to be 16 years old, by that time, yeah, no, it's that horse has already left the barn, so to speak, So anyway, so Sonia, so a breakfast of instant breakfast, once in a while she'd make the cream of wheat, things like that. But mostly we got instant breakfast or breakfast cereal. And then for lunch, she would throw together some sandwiches, sometimes just even butter and bread. I don't know why we went through a period of time like that, but so I don't know, our breakfast and lunches weren't good. And then I remember when I was in junior high school, then you got more freedom to choose, and there weren't very good choices. You got to choose from cookies and pizza, and the pizza was so strange. And I don't know if you remember this because you were probably the same age. It was like this weird dough that they would sort of microwave or heat up. I don't know what they did, and just had tomato sauce on it. Do you remember this? It was just gross, and I
Yeah,
don't know.
I remember. Some of the
It
things
really
I made
wasn't
in school were definitely different.
different. So, like, I would eat cookies and punch or I cannot believe
My
I
daughter eats like
subsisted
that
on.
now. Junk for
Yeah,
lunch.
junk.
French fries every day or pizza or nothing that's healthy to me. So,
Right,
yeah.
right. So I guess you survived somehow on that. The good thing that my mom always did because my father got home and I think he expected to have a decent hot dinner on the table. So
Yeah.
that's one thing my mom always had, and that was a blessing. She would always prepare her own food at home. And I remember this is when I was first married. We moved into our neighborhood here, and my neighbor thought, oh, poor thing, she probably can't cook because I'm, oh, this poor blind person at the door, she probably can't cook. So let's invite her over for Thanksgiving. So they had their Thanksgiving on Friday because we went to our family's house for Thursday. But anyway, so she was really sweet and we had a nice time over there. But I was shocked that she had instant for mashed potatoes, instant. So I hope I'm not offending anybody, but my mom never did that. She
I'm
didn't
guilty
do
of that too.
breakfast.
I am so guilty.
Oh gosh. Well, anyway, so but I just thought, well, on a holiday, anyway. But we ate
No,
it and
holiday, I would probably definitely wouldn't do the mash, the instant. I would
right.
do
This
the
was a
homemade,
holiday.
yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of surprised. But so my mom always did that. She always had a homemade dinner, poor thing, it was always, well, like, oh, Mondays were beans because we were Mexican, we're Hispanic, so she'd make the big pot of beans. That's healthy. The pinto beans, that's a big staple in the Hispanic and Latino community.
Yeah.
Big pot of beans, and she always made homemade tortillas. Oh my gosh, those are to die for. And believe it or not, she used lard. And actually, we're kind of turning back the clock here, but lard got a bad name in the 60s because
It
of the
did.
saturated. Yeah, but now we realize that our great great grandmothers, they never threw any part of the animal away. And that's part of our problem in America right now, is that we tend to eat just the muscle meat. We don't eat any of the other parts of the animal. And that's a little bit different topic, but I mean, in those days, they would take everything from the animal and use it, even the lard and the fat. The lard they would use sometimes for soap making, and they'd fry in it, and they did everything with that important fat. And I'm not saying let's go back. I honestly don't think I'd do well on a farm, but I'm
Me
thinking
either.
that we can take. Yeah, me either, Sonia. So, like, we could just take little bits and pieces of things
Of what they did,
and
yes,
learn
I
from
agree.
it, right?
Yeah, learn from it.
So then my mom would, like, rotate the similar things, but I do that too. But, like, Tuesdays she'll have fried chicken. And so I'm not saying
we still end up having the same things usually. You rotate.
Yeah, usually.
We
but
still do
you know
it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, we always had a vegetable. We had a, everything was homemade. So there was never any, a lot of processed stuff for dinner. So, but yeah, I survived on that. And then here's what's funny, Sonia. I've always been interested in health, and especially when I got to be a teenager, and I thought, you know, like when we'd go out to dinner once in a great while, because it's expensive for our family to go out. But, you know, as we got older, my mom would take us girls out shopping and we'd go to lunch. And I was always the only one I thought it was really healthy to do. And they would order their typical sandwiches and hamburgers and all that. But I would say, no, I'm going to get a salad. That sounds so healthy. So I was already at that point kind of thinking I want to eat healthfully, but I didn't really know what I was doing. And I really didn't know that much about nutrition, but vegetables just sounded healthy. So I started doing more of that. And then, when I got into college, I moved away from home and I went to college, and I've had some weight issues, not a lot, 10 pounds here and there. And so I thought, no, I better not eat the cookie you walk across the street and before school and I would get a breakfast. And, I thought, no, instead of a chocolate chip cookie, I know it's healthier to get a carob chip cookie. It's not true. I mean, you still have all the, you know, added sugars and the processed stuff, but I just thought carob sounded healthier than chocolate, and I didn't even enjoy it any better. So then you lose the idea of even having joy with your chocolate, your so-called cookie. So anyway, so I didn't know what I was doing until, you know, through college I started to learn a little bit more. I even took some nutrition classes, and I was a nurse's aide for a while, and but health has always, always, always fascinated me. So, but it's just been in the last, I'd say, 10 years that I've really gotten serious, because I got really sick about 6 years ago. I don't really know exactly why. I think I had some mineral deficiencies, and I think I had some stress-related problems. And I had to call 911 one morning, and I have never had to do that before. It was scary. No one could tell me what's going on. You have?
Mm-hmm. Where your feels like your heart's pounding out of your chest.
Yeah. Panic attack.
You just don't feel right. Mm-hmm. I have experienced it in the past.
It's, you know, for me, I think it's stress. It's mineral deficient. It's some kind of mineral problem. I think it's mostly stress. And, so I've just gone on a journey of trying to find answers and trying, and I've tried different things, and I think that just being as sensible as you can and listening to your body is the key, really, to finding your way through this stuff. And that's why this book I want to give away free to your audience is so great, because it's you test yourself, basically. You go on for 2 weeks, which is what most experts say, go do this for 2 weeks and see how you feel. That's why we called it the 14-day gluten-free guide. So, you know, you go for 14 days, and especially just dump the junk. Just stop eating the packaged food. Make a plan. You know, you're not going to do it tomorrow. You're going to make a plan. You're going to sit down and you're going to say, all right, what are my favorite foods to eat? Do I like rice, potatoes? Do I like soups? Do I like salads? Do I like figure out some, we have some great recipes in the book. Then you plan out what you're going to have. Then, you know, of course you've got to talk to your family. You know, that's the first step. Then, you know, get your groceries. And I love to do what we call cook big, free small. So you take a weekend or whatever, you know, you have the most time, and prepare big pots of things, big pots of soup or stews, or cut up your vegetables, or do something that takes up a lot of time, and get all that done ahead of time, so that you're not rushing around and trying to figure out what you're going to have for dinner or lunch. And you can even do this with breakfast. You know, you can make a big pot of oatmeal and it lasts in the refrigerator. And so you just scoop out what you're going to have for the morning and put it on the on the stove, get it warmed up while you go get ready or whatever, and there it is. You're ready. It's done. So you can do this with any meal, I think, making things ahead of time. So.
Okay, well, make sure that you – yeah, it does. Now, once you've changed your eating habits, so you feel like you're healthier, you feel better, has the anxiety kind of subsided most days? I mean, everybody has some anxiety. But for the most part, you feel better since you've made the changes?
Yeah. My anxiety went away with a combination of different ways that I was eating and even some deep prayer and meditation. Sonia, to be absolutely frank and honest with you, I think peace and just deep prayer and trying to get the stress out of my life, and just giving my life kind of to God, to tell you the truth, that really was, I think, the most effective, along with the food, along with all the other changes. So like our mind, our body, our spirit, we're all one. And so I think that those three things, those changes, I think those you can't miss, especially I think with the turning within and turning to God. I think that really made a big difference. Does that make sense, Sonia?
It does, because your mind controls a lot of your body. So it's, you know, positive thinking definitely makes you feel better. Thinking of things in negative senses always makes you feel worse, from my experience anyway. I'm assuming more people's had that experience, but the more negative I thought, the worse I felt. And I do believe that if I changed my eating habits, just like probably many other Americans, then I probably would feel even 10 times better. I have a lot of allergies, so my doctor told me I should try going gluten-free, but I haven't done it yet. So with that being said, I want you to go ahead and give out that ebook. Okay, you can go ahead, so we can go ahead and let the listeners hear it.
Yes, absolutely. So it's real easy. You just go to the gluten. freegirls.com, theglutenfreegirls.com. I think I sent you that link so you can post it too, Sonia. But there, you just leave your name and your email so I can also provide you with more information and more help one-on-one. So this is all free of charge, just because I care and I really want to help people. And so this is actually a Kindle book that you can buy, but for your audience, I didn't want that to be a block. So that's why I put it in PDF format. So if you just leave your name and your email at theglutenfreegirls.com, I say girls because my co-author and I wrote the book. She lives in Australia, and I live here in California. Yeah. So,
okay, and is there any other websites that you have or social media where they can find you?
Sure. KathyStrand.com, so K-A-T-H-Y, and then it's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, R-A-H-A-N as in Nancy.com. It's like Michael Strand, the big football player. That's how you spell the Strand name. So KathyStrand.com, not terribly busy on social media. So those are the two best ways to reach
you. Okay. All right. Well, I think we have about a minute left if there's anything else you want to add. But I want to go ahead and thank you for joining us today. And I loved hearing about the new healthful things that I know I probably should do a little better at, and especially for my children. So I think I'm going to try to take heed, and I'm definitely going to download your PDF format of your book.
Yeah, good. Thank you for that, Sonia. I'm so just glad to participate in and be a voice to help other people to really turn within to themselves and you know, figure out the wisdom of how they need to eat for themselves. And it's a joy to help with that, Sonia. Thank you.
I think that's what we're all here for, is to help others. But sometimes, you know, we get a little selfish. But I think that's what he put us here for.
That's right, Sonia. I completely agree, and I believe that too.
Well, I want to thank you again, and I want you to have a great weekend.
You too.
And we will definitely be looking up your information.
Thank you, Sonia, very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye
thank you.
Now.
You have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.